Thank you, campers, and everyone else, of course, but thank you, campers. I found it a real blessing. And anticipating camp, I realised I'm 74-year-old, getting into the bunk and all the rest of it. First time I've ever had to sit on a pillow on those chairs. They were something else, but I'm wondering how I would be sustained. And I said to Pastor, "You have a lot of faith, Pastor, thinking I'm going to be surviving camp and you're going to put me on to preach Sunday night. But you have a great faith." But the Lord is good, and I must say He's sustained me and upheld me, and as the New Zealanders say, the Lord has given me a lift. No, it was very uplifting, very supportive. There's fellowship of the saints, the whole thing working together. I found it very spiritually refreshing, and a beautiful time in the Word of God around an important subject, and to get the truth. You mean to get the biblical truth, and not the polywaffle. And, you know, to get down to the biblical truths of the Holy Spirit's enabling and filling. It was a very serious time and a real blessing. I wouldn't be where I am here today and doing what I'm doing if it weren't for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I enjoyed having old Dr. Rice's songbook because I learned a lot about the Spirit-filled life from old Dr. Rice. Got to America just after he died. Saw a testimony of his life and preaching as an evangelist and soul winner, leading thousands and thousands of people to Christ, a Spirit-filled man. And I realised that I would not be able to do ministry myself. I would need the Holy Spirit and the indwelling and empowering and anointing of the Spirit to do the work of God. Now looking back on it, praise God for His Spirit and the power of the Spirit of God that can take a very ordinary fella and use him in the work of God. And so wonderful to be used of God and to have been and done what we have done over the years is just amazing. And the Spirit of God has enabled, and it has been wonderful to know that and to be refreshed over the camp time in these thoughts. So I trust that tonight's message will cause you to consider and reconsider and continue to know the Holy Spirit's working and power, and that you would learn more of His working and His enabling. Tonight I want to speak about, God willing, the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and we'll talk about that. I'd like you please to go to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7 to start with. Revelation 2, 7. I'm not preaching expository, but following this subject in the Word of God, that we will seek to bring out what the Bible says. So there will be a little bit of that happening in the sermon. Chapter 2, and verse number 7. Here's the message to the seven churches, which describes the seven stages of church history and the Laodicean church, where we're at now, the rule of the people and the rule of man rather than God. But notice chapter 2 and verse number 7. Hear the word of the Lord. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. Verse 17. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of hidden manna. Amen. Hidden manna. And we'll give him a white stone, in that stone written a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth. The new name, Christian. Amen. And there could be other things said there as well. But look at verse number 29 of chapter 2. He that hath an ear to hear. Amen. Let him hear what Benny Hinn says to the churches. No? Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen? A lot of the wild and woolly stuff going on in the charismatic and in that movement around the world is wild and woolly. And there's very little room for the Holy Spirit of God. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So, chapter 3, verse 6, it goes on seven times. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Now, over in verse 22 there, I think that's about the seventh one. I don't know if they've covered every one of them. But he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And it's interesting to note that as the Spirit of God has a word for these various churches, he calls upon them to repent. And then, of course, there is a challenge at the conclusion that he that hath an ear, for the whole of the church age, including you and I, if you are born again of the Spirit of God, you've got spiritual ears, praise God, and you won't need a hearing aid. However, you may need aid in hearing. And we'll talk about that as the Lord goes on in this message, God willing. There are messages here to believers. You and I, from the Spirit of God. And of course, we must be reminded that we have here an amazing book. It is called The Sword of the Spirit. And God uses his word, and the word of God and prayer are so vital if you're going to know the power of God's Holy Spirit and his working in your life. And so it is that he has given us ears to hear. But many people have ears to hear, but they don't hear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege tonight to consider your precious word on this amazing subject of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that you said that you would give us another comforter, even the Spirit of God that would abide with you forever. And we thank you, Lord, for the working of your Spirit through these years. And Lord, we thank you for salvation, which meant that we were born of the Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us more of salvation and the sanctifying work of the Spirit of God. And Lord, that our lives would be typified by Christ. The Spirit of God speaks of Christ and wants to glorify, magnify Christ. So I pray that that would happen. Even with this sermon tonight, use it, Lord, we pray. May everyone have listening ears, dear Lord, please. allow some ears to be unstopped tonight, Lord, and Lord, for the carnality and the worldly distraction to be swept aside, that Lord, you could have your perfect will and way in every heart, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, him that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. The Spirit of God speaks through his word. He speaks through the preached word. And despise not prophesying. The preached word by the man of God in the power of the Spirit. Paul said, I came to you not in word only, but in demonstration of the Holy Spirit. A Spirit-filled preacher preaching the word of God. And the two preachers bringing the word, as we heard this week, the Spirit of God and the human vessel. And the vessel that God can use by the Spirit of God. Hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Do you listen to what the Spirit saith unto the church? Every Sunday, Sunday by Sunday, isn't it amazing? Since the Lord ascended into the glory, there's been preaching every Sunday since that time. Imagine that. Every Sunday, around the world, the Word of God has been preached and is continually preached. It's the sword of the Spirit. And it is the Word of God for the people of God. And by the way, if you get a little convicted about things, as you hear the word of God, don't go away and say, oh, I don't like that church, I get convicted. You need it, amen? It means that the preacher's on the ball, he's on in touch with the Holy Spirit and bringing the word that is necessary. We all should feel uncomfortable as the word of God is preached, as the sword of the Spirit cuts through, dividing in the inner parts, but also coming through to cut sin out of our lives, to perform divine surgery, that we might be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Spirit speaks through the Word of God. And we as believers need sensitive ears. We need unstopped ears, as it were. Sensitive ears, tuned ears. We need to tune the ear to hear above the noise of life, the still small voice. The still small voice, the conviction of the heart by the Spirit of God. And we should be praying, speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. Let your voice be heard deep in my heart to move the will and to make me more like the Lord Jesus Christ. How's your spiritual hearing? When you come to church, do you just come along to church? And you sit there and think, oh well, you know, and be a spectator? Or are you involved in allowing the Spirit of God, the dear Spirit of God, to speak to your heart? Because that's what he wants to do. Tune your ear. Every message that you hear from the Word of God should make an impact. Every message. When I was growing up as a young person in church, we used to have a lot of grumpy people that complained about certain men that preached. Because they weren't dynamic. They didn't have that personality. But my word, it was line upon line, precept upon precept, the word of God being faithfully taught. And people said they found it boring. What was wrong? Their spiritual ears were not attuned to hear the word of God that was coming through the man of God who had studied the word of God and given his heart to the Lord and prayed for the Spirit of God to take the message and apply it to the heart. And then people go away and say, oh, I didn't get anything out of that message. One lady was going past the preacher would stand at the door and shake goodbye to the folk and give them a greeting, encouragement, whatever it was. And this lady said, preacher, I didn't get anything out of that message. And he said, sister, did you bring anything to get the message in? What sort of a best vessel did you bring in? Well, that's got nothing to do with it. It was just boring. And the preacher said, the problem is, lady, Your vessel has got holes in it, amen. The preacher was preaching the word of God, but there was nothing retained in the heart of that person because the spiritual ears were not tuned in. Other things were dominating, and it's sad when you see that with people and they don't grow. They just, a year after year, are the same, and they become boring and usually bitter. Yes. And that's all we get out of it. Wife and I were reminiscing about a certain brother that we knew, and he just became bitter. And got stuck in that particular mode, stuck there for years, year after year. And he didn't get better, he just got more bitter. How sad that is. Now the problem is that the ears are not attuned. We need to have listening ears. Now, most of you, you've got ears, amen? You've all got ears, haven't you? Have you been along to the doctor and said, "Doctor, I can't hear much, can you check my ears out?" As a young person, I used to have to do that regularly, and I had the waxy ear problem. And they'd have to get all that stuff out. And lo and behold, when it's cleaned up, you can hear again. The line is open. And there is good sound coming in. We need to have spiritual ears that are unblocked. We need to do a bit of cleaning up with, clean that sin out of our lives. Confess, cleanse. Be it cleansed by the blood of Christ, that we can hear the voice of God. Now, Lord doesn't yell at us. The Spirit of God does not yell. Bark and bray and carry on like a fool, and so on. The Spirit of God moves generally by a still, small voice. You hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." I remember of old, the old Samuel of old, a young man taken to the temple, put with the preacher Eli to be discipled and to be trained as a preacher. A young Samuel did not know the call of God and the working of God in his life, and he was there from a young age, 8 or 9 years old, placed in the temple to grow up with the man of God. And old Eli was the old preacher, getting old and weak and so forth. And so the young Samuel was there. He was awakened one night. As to the old preacher, "Did you call me, Eli? Did you call me?" "No, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." Went back, lay down, maybe slept for a bit here and there. Again, Samuel. Still small voice of the Spirit speaking to this man to call him in the ministry. Would to God that young Samuels of these days would hear the still small voice of God. But they don't hear. There's too much claptrap and noise going. They've got the bebop going probably. You know what I mean? Driving themselves crazy and their neighbours crazy and so on. Samuel then heard the voice of God, and the old man of God told him how to respond to the Spirit of God. And it was along the line of, "Here am I, send me." There he surrenders to the voice of God in the work of God and became a wonderful preacher of God's word and a blessing to others through the ministry of God in his life. But Samuel was taught to listen and obey. And we need to do the same. In this day and age, we need to be people who can get alone with God. I was thankful for that testimony of the sister there that went out under the tree. The tree had no significance except that you're under it. Amen? But there you have found a designation. You have a place where you can go to the Lord quietly on your knees before God, and there do business with God, and God do business with you. The still small voice of the Spirit, him that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Sadly today, that many churches you will not hear the word of God. You won't hear the sword of the Spirit in many churches. They might just as well be preaching from the Women's Weekly, because they don't use the Bible. How sad that is. Or they used a watered down version of the Bible, which is no help to anybody. So it is that here we are reminded that we need to be sensitive and have a listening ear to the Spirit of God. We were reminded during the week of the meetings, of the teachings of the Word of God, that the Spirit of God is person. He is the third person of the Godhead. Not an it, not a force, not a power. You know those Star Wars movies, some Christians got wrapped in the Star Wars movies. And they thought when they were talking about the force be with you, they spiritualized it and said, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. And you know, some of those turkeys, excuse me, I should be nice, but some of those turkeys, they'd be leaving church and say to their fellow young people, the force be with you. And I'd go, all right, you know, and nothing could be further from the truth, dear friends. All that Star Wars stuff's all satanically influenced, and the voice of God is not going to be heard through that kind of thing. And that is not how the Spirit works. The Spirit is person. He wants to come to us and minister to us and fellowship with us. He wants to shed the love of God. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. If you've been born again, you know that working of God and that assurance that comes through the Spirit of God as He assures us that we are the Lord's. If you're born again, you are the Lord's. If you haven't had that born again experience, I don't mean if you haven't hung from chandeliers, run around the church and jumped up and down and fallen over or half a dozen times and shook like a leaf in the wind and barked like a dog and behaved completely ridiculous. Then they say in tongues, if you haven't done the tongues, you are not born again. Nothing could be further from the truth, friends. And people are relying upon those experiences, but they have never come to know the born-again experience and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of God in their lives. So we are called upon to develop our listening ears, our spiritual ears, as born-again believers, to be able to hear God speaking through His Word to us. And this is the wonderful thing. We have the Word of God. We can take it with us and we can put it inside. Those kids were putting the Word of God inside, and it was amazing to hear Mel coming up with those different tunes for those different scriptures, you know. Amazing how that all came together. And it had to be the Spirit of the Lord bringing it together. But those little ones can put that Word of God in their hearts. Hide God's Word in your heart. Memorize it. And let the Spirit of God bring it to your remembrance. Pastor Weston pointed out that this is one way in which, the main way in which the Spirit of God works. It says that He would bring to our remembrance the things of the Scripture. And that's how the Spirit of God works. He takes the Word of God that we have memorized and that's in our heart, in our hand, and He'll use that in our lives to bring us to an awareness of His presence and His power. So sensitivity to the Spirit of God begins at that point when you are born again, and then you learn to hear God speaking through His Word, through His preacher. And everything begins to change with the transforming power of the Spirit of God. Learning to listen to the Spirit of God and to walk in the Spirit. learning to develop those spiritual ears, to have them cleaned and trained and ready, and then the response, "Hear my Lord, send me." That ought to be our response. Amen. But we find that sadly, over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, please. Ephesians 4:30. We find sadly, however, there are many believers who are not in right relation to the Spirit of God and are doing what the Apostle Paul, what the Spirit of God reminds us that we ought not to do. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30, Ephesians 4:30, we are challenged here about our relationship with the Spirit of God and how we are treating and behaving in relation to the Spirit of God. Chapter 4 and verse number 30, there is a whole discussion here about Christian living. There is to be no corrupt communication in the believer. The Holy Spirit will enable clean speech and clean thought and so on. And then in verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Grieve not the Holy Spirit. You are sealed, and we heard about, we were taught that from the Word of God, the sealing. The Holy Spirit puts His stamp upon our lives and then begins to transform us into the likeness of our Saviour. He stamped His image in our lives and His person. We are sealed to the day of redemption, and we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Things that grieve the Holy Spirit: bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour, evil speaking. "Put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." All these things then that grieve the Holy Spirit: bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour. Here it talks about the Holy Spirit being grieved. And the word "is grieved" is used, which indicates the Holy Spirit is person. And He is a very sensitive person. And He can be affected by bad attitudes, bad response. And we are told to despise not prophesying. We are told that the Spirit of God will place within us a love for preaching, a love for the Word of God, a love to be around the fellowship of the saints and the spiritual fellowship. We are sealed to the day of redemption, and the Holy Spirit is a sensitive person. Paul says we are to stop having the habit of offending the Holy Spirit by rebellious deeds and grievous words. We are to stop offending the Holy Spirit. He is a dear person, and we need to be careful of offending the Holy Spirit. Our actions and thoughts and desires and attitudes. An interesting book came into the book. Stations of the World by Mr. Spurgeon, and they have taken about a dozen sermons that Mr. Spurgeon preached on the Holy Spirit. And I'm glad that the Lord brought that book across my pathway. And I read with great interest this chapter on "Grieve Not the Holy Spirit." And he went through, very convicting, he went through the ways in which believers grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the things that's most grievous to the Holy Spirit is to be ignored. Ignored. I said to Brother Tweedy, I said, "You want to help me with a skit? We'll do a skit and we won't do it, but I'll get you up here," because he's a train expert, okay? He works in the railway. And I was going to get him up here to tell us how we could get rid of graffiti and everything, right? But over here, I was going to get young Thomas up. And he was going to be waxing eloquent about how to get rid of it, and we were going to ignore him. And Thomas and I were going to have a discussion. We were going to put up big cleaning machines, you know, run the trains through, and they'd just all be, you know, and all this. We were going to have a silly conversation. Okay? I'm not saying that young Thomas is silly. He's a very sensible young man. And he challenged me a number of times at camp, especially pre-preaching. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit, Pastor? Oh, when young Samuel asks you that question, you shiver in your boots, you really do. You ask that question. But you know, we were going to carry on over here, and Brother Tweedy was going to give an expose on how to clean up the trains. But we weren't going to take a bit of notice of him. We were going to completely ignore him. Right? And everything he said, we were going to completely, that's your opinion, you know, we were going to completely ignore him. And do our own thing and go our own way very foolishly. And that's what a lot of believers are doing in these days toward the Holy Spirit. They are rude and brash and ungodly and uninterested in the work of the Spirit of God and want to do their own thing with all the filth and garbage of the world. And how sad that is. We are sealed with God's stamp, making us God's purchased possession and destined unto the day of redemption, complete redemption. When final redemption is realized, we'll be completely transformed into the image of God's dear Son. The Spirit of God is wanting to do that work in us. He's wanting to comfort us. He's wanting to help us. He's wanting to teach us. He's wanting to empower us. But many times we treat him with total ignorance and we ignore him. How often, even in church services, he is ignored. The Spirit of God is ignored. I love those hymns that invite the Holy Spirit to come and to work and to fill and so forth, and very biblical ones, that is. I like them. And that because they set our hearts to focus and tune on the Spirit of God who wants to work in the service. Do you know that many times in the services that are conducted around the world, the Holy Spirit is completely grieved? Filth and garbage takes place on the platforms with people dressed ungodly like the world and singing like they're in a satanic nightclub, and they want God to bless it, and they think that it's the way to go. But the Spirit of God is grieved. He is grieved as he sees their ungodliness and all the filth and garbage that is taking place, and leaders being taken to the courts for their involvement in some way with paedophilia or other sinful practices. There's no far telling how down the devil can take even believers as they give in to their carnal desires. So God wants us to be in fellowship, and the Spirit of God wants to speak to us and to be in close and friendly terms with us. Are we like that with him? Are we like that with him? We entreat the Father for the Holy Spirit's working and blessing in our lives. And we treat the Holy Spirit with great reverence. And I do not have a problem with dear brothers who ask the Holy Spirit to take them and use them in a sermon. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem when they stand up in the flesh and start their polywaffle, amen? But when a man of God is truly seeking the Lord, and he may maybe be making a little mistake that way, the way he is addressing, but when he's asking the Holy Spirit, that man is in touch with the Spirit of God and wants to be pleasing to the Spirit of God and wants the Spirit of God to come and fill that earthen vessel and work in and through that vessel. But I think, you know, we can ask the Father to give us the Holy Spirit. And that's really how we ought to approach it, through that way, to ask the Father. But the Spirit of God wants to bless us. He doesn't want to come along toward you and say, that preacher's been in sin. He doesn't want to come along and go, oh no. How does the Holy Spirit feel when he comes along to a preacher that's been in sin during the week and stuff? And or else has been very bad language, treated people bad, and has the wrong attitude toward the people of God and the things of God. Grieving the Holy Spirit. Grieving the Holy Spirit. Bitterness, anger, evil speaking, wrath, clamour, malice. It doesn't say that the Holy Spirit gets angry or impatient. It rather tells us that the Holy Spirit is grieved. That's a beautiful personality there, when somebody is grieved by the wrong behaviour of another. That is real personality, that's truth and reality. When the Spirit of God gets like that and is treated that way, how sad it is. The Holy Spirit is holy. He is the sanctifying Spirit. He is watching and waiting and looking for the way in which he can bless. He is listening. And we are to yield to the Spirit of God. I love that that hymn, that song that the choir sang about the old windmill and the wind moving those wheels and making it turn and put out energy that is useful for mankind and humanity. That's how the Spirit of God wants to work through the believer. And he wants to come and to fill. He wants us to be mere channels through whom he can work. But if there's blockages there, if there's contamination and uncleanness there, he is not able to work. Dear believer, the same with you. Not just for preachers. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit fullness, is not just for preachers. It is for everyday Christian living, so that we can live in this wicked world and be beautiful, a sweet fragrance of our Lord Jesus and of the Spirit of God in the most horrible situations. That's the working of the Spirit of God. The Spirit who will whisper the love of God shed abroad in your heart. That's a true person that loves you and cares about you. That's what the Holy Spirit is like. How do you treat him? How do you treat him? Do you respond with the love of the Spirit? Do you have a true love of the Spirit of God? And do you worship God and express the fact that you love God and you love his dear Spirit? We can do that. We should do that. Because he is the Spirit of love. He is the Spirit of God and of all that is beautiful, whatsoever things are pure and true and lovely. These are of God, and this is the working of the Holy Spirit. What a difference and a contrast that is to much of the spirit stuff that's going on out there in the world and in the worldly churches. So he will watch your attitudes and actions. Do you realize that? The Spirit of God knows what's going on. He knows what's deep in your heart. He knows your motivations. He knows your actions and so on, and the desires of your heart. And we ought to be mindful of that, that we would be pleasing to the Holy Spirit in all of our actions and attitude towards others. We often fail, don't we? And it's true, we often fail. We are often, and in preparing this very message, I had to stop by and ask God to forgive me for my treatment of the Spirit of God, grieving the Spirit of God and not listening to him and responding to his will and way in every given situation. None of us can say that we have responded always in the right way towards the dear Holy Spirit. We would all have to confess we have grieved the Spirit of God. Have you been to the altar? Have you been before the cross and claimed the precious forgiveness and blood of Christ over your attitude and actions and your life in relation to the Spirit who is grieved? So the grieving of the Holy Spirit means that the Spirit of God is seeking to work, and He is present and active, the indwelling Spirit in the believer, going with the believer wherever you go, whatever you do, He is there, the dear indwelling Spirit, and we treat Him properly, we need to, don't we? And He's there because He's active and working in the life of the believer. And we need to recognize that and respond to Him properly so that we are in fellowship. Nothing between myself and the Savior. Nothing between us and the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit is grieved with. We can get cleansing from the Lord over what may be displeasing to the Spirit or grieving to the Spirit of God. So in that we see the Spirit of God indwelling and working in the believer and wanting to move through the believer, giving kindness, tenderness, love, forgiveness, and all those beautiful things of the Spirit, all of that beautiful fruit, that one fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, all of those beautiful things the Spirit of God wants to perform and to develop in us. And that will happen as we are followers of God and walk in the Spirit. But then there's another verse we need to be directed to in the ongoing work of the Spirit. I want you to go please to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 19. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. Are you with me? I think you are. Praise the Lord. This is Sunday night. We've had a big week and we've sat for many hours under the Word of God. What an absolute banquet it's been. Amen. And we have been so blessed. Look at chapter 5 and verse 19. In a number of different practical things the apostle calls upon these believers at Thessalonica to practice. He says, rejoice evermore. Hallelujah, what a good thing that is. Are you rejoicing tonight? If you're not, you're grieving the Spirit. You should be rejoicing in the Lord and the salvation that you have. Pray without ceasing. Whoa. You mean I've got to be in a constant prayer meeting? Well, that'd help. Sound like you need it if that's the way you are. You know, one of these nubby types is praying all the time, mostly. Because in this wicked world, in this wicked world with what's going on, you've got to pray. My word, pray much. Pray without ceasing. There is so much. The world has yet to see what God can do with one sold-out individual that knows how to pray. Let's be those individuals that seek the Lord. Okay, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What did you say, preacher? In everything. Oh, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what's happened to me and the way people have treated me. Why, I even had a nasty experience down at the church. And I am not going back. You soul winners, door knockers, you know what I'm talking about. Oh dear. Oh dear. Yeah, the fact that they were unspiritual and caused a nightmare to the dear pastor and the dear folk down at the church, that's another story. But God would have us to give thanks. He allows things to take place in our lives. All things work together for good to those that love God. And that's seeing things from the perspective of God in our lives, even if we have a car accident. Like the one girl, so Kathy gave the testimony. Well, the pastor had a car accident in the week and the car's written off. And I was getting, normally, she said, before I was saved, I'd get very angry. And I'd get angry with everybody, including God. But I said, God, if you want to rearrange my car and give me a new one, hallelujah. Kathy had been saved and born again, and the Lord did took her out of that old Austin 1800 and gave her a real car. Anyway, we won't go there. We'll get into strife on that one. But notice verse number 19, and here we get serious now. Quench not the spirit. Context, despise not preaching, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Not only evil, but the appearances of evil. And so it is that the challenge there is, quench not the spirit. Now the word quench means, in this context, to suppress. It is synonymous with the word despised in verse 20. Despise not prophesying, and literally to dampen out the flame. The work of the Spirit of God is called and described as a fire that purifies, fire that works. In using the word quench, Paul pictured the Spirit of God as fire. We find this in Isaiah 4:4, the spirit of judgment and the fire and burning, the Spirit of God working that way. Acts 2:3, there's a reference that way, and Revelation 4:5, but we don't need to go there. The fire speaks of purity, power, light, warmth, and if necessary, judgment and purging of the dross. People gather around the fire. I noticed that the other night. It was a cold wind blowing, and some of those crazies were out there till 1 o'clock in the morning. Is that not true? They were around that fire because they loved to get around the fire and watching the flames coming up, and maybe even getting a bit of warmth now and again. And I was sitting in the dining room thinking, I wish we'd have lit that fire right there. Because I'm not going down there with the mozzies and all the rest of it down there. And those crazies down there around the fire. But fires attract people, don't they? And they're beautiful. We always, with camps, we had many camps over the years. We had a regular camping ministry in the church. And you couldn't get away from that campfire. And how God touched hearts with the preaching of the word around the campfire. That'll be another sermon or ten. But the Lord works with that sort of thing. But the fire, the Holy Spirit, think of the Holy Spirit as that fire of God burning. As one of the prophets said, the fire was in his bones. It was internal in his life. And when the Spirit of God is at work in our hearts, we have warmth. The warmth of love. And we're able to love others. We have light in our minds, which gives us understanding of the Word of God. Energy in our will. Fire in our belly and in our bones. He melts us together in the church. The Spirit of God working melts us together in the church, in harmony, in cooperation. And he purifies us so that we put away sin. The fire must not go out on the altar of our hearts. Did you get fired up through the ministry of the Spirit of God during the... I did it. Amen. I did, and this old body, by the end of that time at camp, and this old body was flat as a pancake. And then I got a crick in the neck. Wasn't that good? I couldn't move. And I said, how am I going to be preaching to you all? I'm a total wreck. Anyway, the Lord revived me somewhat, and you must have been praying, I'm sure. But you know, God worked and God revives and refreshes. And that speaks of the energy and power of God. We hear so much about the energy problem out there in the world and all the rest of it. It's a beat up. It's a storm in a teacup. It's a beat up. It really is. And we won't go off into that's another subject again. But But here we have then the Spirit of God working, who wants to work in our lives and do a work. Paul told young Timothy, stir up the gift of God which is in thee, to stir it up. Stir it up, get it to a flame of fire. Timothy must have been neglecting the gift of preaching in somewhat, or downplaying it a little bit in his life. And the apostle said, get stirred up about it. Get stirred up, young person, older person, get stirred up about the preaching of the word of God. Get in touch with the Spirit of God. Ask for the Spirit's fullness and the fire and power of God to come coursing through you, that you could be a flame of fire for the Lord. No, we're not talking about the legalist who wants to put the flame out by all of the rules and laws and rules that they bring in, or the formalist that goes by tradition. We're not like that. We are spiritual people wanting to follow the Lord and the Word of God. And the fanatic would burn the whole place down. We don't want fanatics. We need spirit-filled people that love the Lord and love what God loves and love the souls of men and women. So Timothy must have been getting a little bit discouraged in that. And Paul says that he was not to quench the Holy Spirit, and that to get into the preaching of the word. If you don't like preaching, there's something wrong with you, Christian. There's something sadly wrong with you. I love preaching. Look, I could preach the longest sermon the world has ever heard. I could. I'd just be, hit the button, just keep preaching, brother. But the problem is, the place would be empty. You know, Paul preached till midnight. Come on. Hey, the night is young. Where's the fire? But here, it's true, the Spirit of God, like that fire, enthusing us, giving us enthusiasm and energy for God and the things of God and the souls of men. But unfortunately, there's been a wet blanket sale. Wet blankets are used to extinguish fires. Put over the top the wet blanket of unbelief. Oh no, we couldn't do that here. We couldn't do it. Unbelief. The wet blanket of dull hearing. Oh, not another sermon. Not another sermon on salvation. Oh no. Breaks my heart that people don't like the preaching of the gospel. Believers don't like the preaching. And God says that he uses the foolishness of preaching. Not talking, preaching. On fire, Spirit of God, preaching of the Word of God, to put it through to the hearts and lives of men and women and make a difference. An on fire preacher, how we need on fire preachers, like our pastor that gets in the middle of an exposition and gets on fire. Hallelujah, I like that. I think that's good. I think that's of God. And you know, we need to support that and encourage the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. We need to fan those embers into a flame of fire. We need to add fuel to the fire and worship and praise and spirit-filled living. Add fuel to the fire, resulting in powerful witness. Fire is used to picture the Holy Spirit's working. Don't quench it. Don't quench it. Oh, how we need the fullness and the fire of the Holy Spirit to stir us in these days of apathy and unbelief. Oh, we need the fire of the Spirit of God stirring us up, and to praise God and to see the wonderful truths of God. We need faith and surrender to the Lord and to the Holy Spirit's working. Repentance and submission and a love for God and his word. The trouble is, so many hearts are cold and indifferent, lukewarm. Lukewarm. And that illustration of saying that the church was lukewarm, and and it said the Lord would spew them out of his mouth, just the lukewarmness that is around the place in believers' lives and in some churches. They're as dead as a dodo. Some churches you can walk into can say to the, you can go and say hello to the doorman and he turns away. You can go and sit down over in the place or try and talk to somebody afterwards. Like one preacher said, I can't get them to come and you can't get them to go home. No, because they love the fellowship of the saints. And it's fuel for the fire. The fellowship of the saints is fuel for the fire. A lady came to me once and she said, I don't like all this noise before the service. What's going on in this church, all this noise? I said, that's fellowship, sister. That's the fellowship of the saints, the buzz of the fellowship of the saints. They're glad to be in the house of God, greeting one another, encouraging one another. Now, by neglect, the fire will go out. Just by neglect, the fire will go out. Many problems in this world and in families is simply neglect. And in the spiritual lives of believers, simply neglect. Neglect the fire. There's too much dirt and dross. If you want to put a fire out, kick the dirt on the fire. You want to put the fire out, kick the dirt on the fire. What are you talking about? I think there are certain people that know what I'm talking about. And you know, deal with that. Deal with that. Repent of that. Get right with God and put some prayer on the fire. Put some prayer and thanksgiving and rejoicing and love for the Spirit of God. Get rid of the strange fire that would burn in there. Bad worldly living and bad music and ungodliness. Get rid of it. Burn. Burn, O fire within my heart. Burn fiercely, mightily, till all the dross of earthly loves is burned and burned away. So there's another one we'll deal with just quickly. Resist not the Holy Spirit. Resist not the Holy Spirit. And this is found in Acts chapter 7 verse 51. We won't go there. I'll just mention this. People can resist. Now people, unsaved people, the great resistors of the gospel. They will not listen, they turn away and they resist the Holy Spirit's working. When they get to heaven before the judge for the general judgment seat, they won't be able to say, I didn't hear, nobody tried to tell me. When people did that they despised. And the Jews were doing this, these religious Jews were doing this. They rejected the clear preaching of the Word of God and the fact of God's judgment upon them and did not receive the Lord as Saviour. How they needed to do that. Well then, dear friends, as we finish this week and this sermon, I want you to go. We're not just going to die out either in this sermon. Please turn to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. Fasten your safety belt, please. 22 and 17. You may hit a bit of turbulence right now. Okay, verse number 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come! And let him that heareth say, come! And let him that is thirst come! And whosoever will, let him come and take of it water of life freely. There is an artesian basin in this country, an artesian basin of beautiful water. And out in the outback you may tap into that artesian and that beautiful water is going to come bubbling forth. Bubbling forth, the artesian in the centre of this country. But there is a great artesian, as it were, the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord said will come in our lives and be a well of water springing up in our lives. And we must come, the appropriation of that particular beautiful artesian. In the outback, if they don't dig a well, if they don't put it down, it might even go down 1,000 feet in some places. But then the waters burst forth, the artesian waters that are there. But if the farmer doesn't bother to put the artesian well down, why would he expect that he's going to get anything out of there? This speaks of the appropriation, come, the invitation to come and to drink. To drink is the appropriation of the fullness of the Spirit of God in our lives. And we were told very clearly and taught very clearly from scriptures during the week about that matter. But here we are invited to come. Notice who's inviting you. Who's inviting? I enjoy an invitation, amen? An invitation. I don't like the gate crash, but there is a beautiful invitation, Christian. You don't need to worry whether there's enough for you or whether you're invited. You're invited and there's plenty for you. Him that is athirst, let him come. Hail everyone that is thirsty in spirit. And we sang that over again. Come to the waters, and what were we told? What were we told? That we could receive the fullness of the Spirit of God. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So you must come daily for the Spirit's anointing and filling, daily for the working of God in your life. Come daily. You don't have, Pastor Weston brought it out very clearly, when you get saved, you just don't have a drink then and go on your way merrily. No, you still need to come back to the waters of the Word regularly, daily. You need to die for self so that the blockages can be moved out. Confessing sin, seeking the cleansing of God so that the blessings can move out and God's blessings can fill. We must acknowledge our great need of the fullness of the Spirit of God. We must ask, Luke 11:5 to 13. We must accept, and this indeed is the appropriation. Take the Spirit of God. Allow the Spirit of God. Yield to the Spirit of God. Humble yourself under the power of the Spirit of God. We must then act upon what we have in the Holy Spirit and serve the Lord with gladness. The fruit of the Spirit will come forth with joy, gratitude, sanctification and submission. Go please to Matthew 11:28. Come, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Come unto me, and what does he say? I will give you rest. There is glorious rest as you come to the Lord, yield yourself to him, place your life in his hands, and there is rest and peace in that wonderful relationship with the Lord. In Matthew chapter 11, we see here that the Lord invited his servants, his disciples, to come and to enjoy this. Chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Are you labouring for the Lord and feeling weary in that? Are you committed to the Lord? Have you sacrificed for his work and service? Have you been through hard trials and found the Christian life is not easy? And it is not easy. Are you heavy laden as you see the world and the lust around about you? Are you heavy laden? Lord says, come and I will give you rest. You come unto him and you're thirsty. You ask for the fullness of the Holy Spirit and he will give you. Will he give you a fish or a rock or something else if you ask for the fullness of the Heavenly Father? A father will give their child food, not rubbish. And here the Spirit of God then would come. So not only then, come and be filled, come and walk with God. Come daily. Take the yoke upon you, the yoke of the gospel, the yoke of the cross, the yoke of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is the fullness of the Holy Spirit to enable you through the most difficult work, through the most difficult soul winning and preaching and living in your Christian life. So you must come unto the Lord and learn to come. But also you must stay. Come to the Lord and stay, abide in him. John chapter 15. How to enjoy ongoing blessings from the camp and the work of the Spirit of God. Come daily. Come daily. Take of the waters. In the service of God, take of the waters. You're thirsty, come and take daily that. And abide in me, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. So many believers are struggling. Oh, I wish I could win souls. I'm trying really hard to win souls. I haven't won anybody. Well, allow the Spirit of God to fill you. Abide in him, as the branch cannot bear fruit itself, except it abide in my except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And I in him, and the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me ye can do nothing. Abide in the Lord. Come to him and stay with him. Come to him and take all of the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. I need to be filled, Lord Jesus. I need to be filled each day. I need to be filled each moment along life's way. Isn't that so true? Oh, come to the waters. Come. Now, I don't know in your experience, dear believer, if you've come to a crisis point in the realization of your great need of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Maybe that hasn't come to you yet, but as a young person, that's what happened to me. After I'd been saved about a year, I realized I had great need and was challenged and invited to come and to yield everything to Christ and to be filled with the Spirit of God. There have been many, many subsequent experiences of coming to the Lord and needing, coming empty, coming thirsty, coming hungry and needing so much the blessing and the fullness of the Spirit of God. Come, maybe you need to do that tonight. This old-fashioned church down here, this old-fashioned altar may be a good place for you to yield yourself. The Bible says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You spoke here of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you have not been Spirit-filled. You realize you've been grieving the Holy Spirit. You have been offending the Spirit of God. You have been quenching the Spirit of God in your life. You haven't been listening to the Spirit of God. And tonight you're saying to the Lord, Lord, tonight I want to make a fresh start. Cleanse me by your precious blood. Fill me afresh with the Spirit of God. Lord, I know you're indwelling me. But Lord, I need the filling and enabling and the empowering of the Spirit of God. The Spirit moved upon the deep. The Spirit moved. Oh, in the creation you see the importance of the Holy Spirit moving to bring about great things. And that's so in your own life as you yield to the Spirit of God, as you submit to him and allow him to come to cleanse and to fill you. Maybe this could be your opportunity tonight. You've heard so much teaching. And it ought not just remain academic with us, brothers and sisters, although we need to know the Word of God, but it needs to be a matter of the heart. And maybe God is speaking to you tonight about the matter of the heart. And there are things to do business with over with God over this matter of the quenching and the sown of the Spirit of God and the need not to grieve the Spirit. Maybe God's working with you. Oh, let us see God move. Let us see hearts that are willing and yielded to the Spirit of God so that God could make us as a fruitful vine here and do a wonderful work in and through each one. Let's bow in prayer. We'll bow in prayer and I'll